who exposes some of what's going on right now. Let me know after the service if you want it sent to you so you can see it as well. All right. Make sure I'm on. And then Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 21 as we look at the culmination of the doctrine of sin in Scripture. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful again for another night of being able to be in your house and to continue looking into your word. Father, we're thankful that we can have your word, that we can meditate upon it. Father, we can study it. We can be under the preaching and teaching of it. And Father, it's one thing that because of the country we live in right now, we don't have a threat of persecution from doing that. But I pray, Father, that we don't take that for granted, but that we understand that that's a privilege that we have because of where you've allowed us to reside. And Father, I pray that we would stand up for these privileges, these honors, these rights that we have been given. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. The purpose of the coming and death of Christ and the entire prophetic plan of God for Israel and all nations is to deal with this terrible problem of sin. It's interesting. People wonder why all these things are going on in the world, why we have this, whatever you want to call it, plandemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. Why are we going through this? Sin. You know, I was out meeting today, and the gal said, "You know, I'm really concerned about what's going on in our nation. I have two young children. What's it going to be like for them in the future?" And I said, "Well, my trust and faith is not in what's going on with the government. My trust and faith is not what's going on in the political realm right now. It's not in man at all. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's where our faith and trust is in, then does it matter what actually the outcome is? God's still in control. Yeah, I would like to see things done a certain way because it would sure make life easier. But if God's in control and everything happens for a reason and we know that the evil things that are happening in the world are not because God is so good and wonderful and all, it's because man is sinful. You know? It's just interesting. The more I hear about what's going on out there, the more I think, man, people just never cease to amaze me how devious they can be. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm saved and God didn't make me think devious. But there's people that are out there that spend an awful lot of time and energy being destructive and being evil and wicked. And my mind just doesn't go there. I don't think of those things. You know, years ago, they told me, they said, when you go to the closing table, when you're signing for document, you give them your tax returns to get a loan, right? You have to give them all that. And those are signed. But then you sign a copy of your tax returns at the closing table. I said, they already gave you signed copies. Those ones could be forged. We can order these through the IRS. Now we want them to re-sign what they've already signed so we can verify that this is really what happened. And I said, somebody actually forges their tax returns when they give them to you? I said, how do you forge a tax return that's already been filed? Because they're previous 3 years, or 2 years, previous 2 years. They've already been filed. They said, they take a copy of it, They white out what they don't want us to see, write in what they do, or type in whatever's been done with it, copy it again so it doesn't look like anything's been changed, and give it to us. And I said, seriously? Who had time to think that up? I don't think that way. I just think, you want my tax return? Here it is. This is what I turned in. Here it is. I don't think that way. But why? Because there's sin in the world. People are sinful. John 1:9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And then we have Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Daniel 9, 24 through 27, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Interesting that at some point in time, things are going to get better for us, right? Things don't look so good right now. And it drives me nuts when people say, it's never been this bad. You've never read the book then, because it has been this bad. It's just we see it constantly bombarded with all this information all the time, and we see it like now. Can you imagine what it would have been like if these things would have been going on in the days of Noah? You'd have got the election result sometime the end of next year, probably. Right? I mean, already we're not going to know for probably several more weeks. But we wouldn't know, because how fast is news going to travel when it goes by slow boat, right? But we know right away. So we think things are really, really bad. They're not any worse than they were before. We just think they are. Nobody's gone through what we've gone through, right? Well, yes, they have. Yes, they have. This book says there's nothing new under the sun. I'm going to believe there's nothing new under the sun. It's all been going on. And, you know, man has been evil and wicked and since God created them and they sinned and Cain slew his brother Abel. It's just gone downhill. And it's just what it is. Then we have the importance of the doctrine of sin in Scripture. Concerning the study of the doctrine of sin, Harmar Theology, Herbert Lockyer writes, a concept of sin is therefore imperative, for if man errs here, he errs everywhere. If he does not have scriptural views of sin's nature, he will not have scriptural views of sin's efficacious remedy. Man's estimation of sin differs considerably, but to accept the Bible's verdict on sin is to accept the Bible's provision of salvation from sin by the Savior. Not only do we have to have the right idea of who Jesus Christ is, we have to have the right idea of what sin is. We excuse it all the time because we act like it's no big deal. You know, if I had a dollar for every time somebody says, well, God understands, I could have retired a long, long time ago. I get tired of hearing God. Why should God understand that we willingly continue on in our sin when it cost his only begotten son his life on the cross? He had to shed his blood on that cross. God had to turn his back on his only begotten son as he hung on that cross because of our sin. God will understand. No, he won't. And he doesn't have to. Oh, buts. He does not understand. I've said over and over and over again, God does not understand. He did not put up with it with Israel. He's not going to put up with it with us. Right? Israel sinned. What happened? They got what God said they were going to get. Right? You want the blessings of God? Be obedient to the word. You want the curses of God? Disobey his word. It's pretty simple. Not difficult to understand. But then when we get spanked, well, what was that for? How about the sin that you know that you're involved in, but you think I'm going to understand? And as I've said many times, if you keep rewarding bad behavior, you get more bad behavior. God's not going to reward bad behavior. Because he gets it. He understands. Man doesn't understand, so we reward bad behavior and think there's nothing wrong with it. But it doesn't work that way. Not with God. And these statements could not be more true. We cannot rightly understand salvation unless we understand sin. We have to understand what our sin is. And we have to call sin, sin. Not, I made a mistake. Not, oops, I fell into it unwillingly. No, I just happened to be tripped. Somebody threw me into it. No, we have to understand that our sin is sin, and we willingly choose to sin. When we're tempted, the Bible says that God gives us a way of escape. So we choose the sin over the escape. It's pretty simple, right? If he gives us a way of escape and we don't take it, then we're choosing the sin. It's not difficult to figure it out. If there's something that you're doing that is against what God says, it's sin. In fact, if you know to do good and you don't do it, what's the Bible say? To him it is sin. If God's convicted you of something that he doesn't want you doing and you do it anyway, you're sinning. And blatant disobedience to the word of God. You know, that's why I say, why, if God's plainly spelled it out to you, why do you need to pray about it? If he's plainly spelled it out in his word, this is what you need to do, well, I need to pray about it. Why? Because, like I said the other day, God's not going to change his mind. This book says he doesn't. But if I bother him long enough, no, he's not going to change his mind. You might get your way. I'm not saying that you won't. They cried out for a king, and what did God do? And, okay. They wanted to put away their wives. What did God say? Okay. But he also said it was because of the hardness of their hearts, not because of his, but because of theirs. See, everything that happens isn't because God changed, it's because man has changed. Man has changed from following God to following devil, self, anything but God. And we think it's okay. It's not okay. A proper understanding of sin opens the doors to a proper understanding of grace and completely destroys any system of salvation by works. Yeah, because once we understand sin, we really understand grace, right? We really get, when we understand what our sin should get us, and we're not getting that, grace is huge. Huge. I thank God for his grace. There's a few times when I thought I wish he wasn't quite as long-suffering for some people, but that's because I end up not being as long-suffering as I should be. It's the bottom line. You know, you get behind somebody in traffic and you think, God, just annihilate them so I can get on with my life, right? Where's your long suffering? We don't have any. Patience is something you should have, right? Not something I should have, but something you should have. And so, we need more patience. We need to be long-suffering. An incomplete understanding of the utter vileness of sin will inevitably lead to errors concerning security and sanctification. We will never learn to walk in holiness until we learn abhorrence of sin. We have to get to the point where we hate sin like God hates sin. Because until we do, we're going to continue in it. Because we don't see anything wrong with it, right? And I've said many times, from this pulpit and several others I've preached out of, Satan never makes sin look bad. If he did, we'd run from it. Satan knows to make it look appealing. Because if it's appealing, we'll be interested in it. Now, I got to tell you, once you start considering it, you might as well, you're sunk. Don't even consider it. Just say no. And move away from it. So what is sin? How the Bible describes sin. The Bible word for sin is hamartia, and it means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Oh, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? Ever been to the shooting range and you missed the mark? I've shot, I can count on one hand how many times I've shot a gun. And I can tell you numerous times in those five outings or less that I have missed the mark more than once. I'm not an expert marksman at it. I don't practice it. I don't do it all the time. People who do it all the time can hit the mark quite frequently. I'm not one of those. You know, I need something that sends a spray out so I can hit anything, just get everything in the way, because I'm not going to be good at hitting the target every time. Now, the more I shot, the time we went out to the shooting range, the more I shot the gun, the more times I was hitting the mark, because I was getting used to shooting it. And I had a great time, by the way. I think everybody that was there that day had a great time. And that's been 12 years ago or so. It's been a long time ago, it seems like. But anyway, we had a good time. Sin is therefore any action or attitude that does not perfectly hit the mark of obedience to God's commandments. Coming close to the mark is still missing the mark. You get that? I mean, horseshoes and hand grenades are the only time you can be close, right? So if you miss the mark, you missed it. Just coming close is not good enough. We've got to not be missing the mark when it comes to God's word. We need to be following. We need to be obedient to his word. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? That all word there means nobody is exempt. Now, these people that say, well, I've never sinned in my entire life. This says you have. Oh, don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. God did. But it's true. We have all missed the mark. Every last one of us, Pick on Brother Fred for a minute. He said he takes pens, right? Don't give him a pen if you don't want him to walk off with it, because he's already admitted he takes them. It just happens. You put a pen in your hand and you just don't think about it. You just walk off with it. And it's like easy to do. And I only have one in my pocket tonight, but when I'm out working, I have three or four or five in my pocket because I never want to run out of ink. Sign here, right? But it's one of those things. People just walk off with them. I can't tell you how many pens I've lost over the years. So I buy them by the hundreds now because people just take them. And I started giving them after a closing. I'll give pens with my name and address, phone number, stuff like that on it, so that they'll remember me when they're running around with my pens that they used to steal from me, and now I've given them to them, right? But it's just one of those things. People do stuff without thinking it through. It just happens. You know, you're at work and you grab something off the desk, you put it in your pocket thinking you're going to use it again, you go home and you've got it and take it out of your pocket and it never makes it back to the office, right? You just don't think it through. But is that any less theft than if you went to the grocery store and walked out to... I actually was at the grocery store one time when the police showed up and this guy was going out the door with a whole cart of groceries that he hadn't paid for. And the obvious clue was nothing was bagged. I'm like, nobody shops at the grocery store and doesn't bag anything. I mean, the big stuff, I get it. But anyway, he apparently thought he didn't have to pay for it. I don't know. Anyway, as an illustration, God commands that we give at least a tithe of our income to the local church we are a member of. While it is easy to say that refusing to give God at all is sin, we must also recognize that giving part of that is also a sin. We got to understand that we can't say, God, this is what your word says, and I'm going to obey it to this point, but from that point on, I'm not. But at least I did this part, right? I remember one day Dad said, take the trash out. I got the trash out to the back porch. It had to go to the street and be in the can. Didn't make it that far. But I took it out of the house. Take the trash out. It's out of the house. Was I being obedient? No, because anybody with any intelligence whatsoever would know you don't put it on the back porch, you take it and put it in the garbage can. That's where it's got to go. So I was disobedient. And he took care of that problem. That's how you correct bad behavior. It has to hurt too much. And when it hurts too much, you don't do it anymore. That's a sin. If we miss the mark of perfect obedience to a command of God, we're sinning. And then sin is thus failing to perfectly obey the commands of God revealed in the Bible. The Bible word for sin, pasha, means trespass, to overstep a forbidden line. How many times have I used the illustration that there's a line in the sand and we want to walk right next to it? Instead of being as far away from that sin line and as close to God as possible, we want to be right there next to that line, and on occasion we straddle it, right? We've crossed that line. People say, well, I happened to just lose my balance and I felt... No, you willingly chose to do that. And why do we want to be as close to sin as possible instead of as close to God as possible? What was that? We just like to... We're like kids, right? Kids want to know where the boundaries are. And they're going to push as close to that boundary line as possible and maybe push you back from it, and then they've gained some more space. That might work with parents today, but it doesn't work with God. We can't go over to that line and get as close and expect he's going to push that line back. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not with God. He doesn't change. We'd like him to, huh? We like to say, God, come on, just let us have some sin every once in a while. What's it going to hurt? Well, I wouldn't suggest we try it. Man therefore commits sin whenever he, purposefully or unknowingly oversteps the line of God's commandments. In 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin trespasseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. People say, well, we're not under the law. You think as a child of God that you can sin all the more? Just because you're under grace? This book doesn't say you can. In fact, it says, God forbid. God forbid that we should even want to sin even more. We should have the attitude that we already sin more than we want to, let alone we want to sin more. Then Acts 1:25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And then James 2:11 says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. You can't transgress in one and not think that you've transgressed the law, because you have there, but the Bible says that if you transgress in one, you're guilty of all. So you may not have been an adulterer, but have you ever told a lie? And I don't want them color-coordinated. I want a lie is a lie is a lie. Well, I told a lie just so I wouldn't hurt their feelings. You thought that would spare them? I don't know, maybe it's just me. Isn't it easier to deal with the truth? Even if you don't like the truth, isn't it easier to deal with it because you know what you're dealing with? I just think it is. You know, you get a diagnosis of something terrible. Isn't it better to know so you can know what you might have options to do with it than to not know? I mean, my brother-in-law had bone cancer. He saw 3 specialists or something, and each one of them said it wasn't cancer. One of them said it was his gout. And so they kept sending him home. Well, finally, one of them said, you know, I'm not really sure what's going on here. I'm going to send this over to Seattle somewhere, some clinic place over there. And they were going to analyze the samples and all, and they got back, and it was bone cancer. Okay, now you know what you're dealing with. However, over the course of all that time, it had spread throughout his entire body. And he lasted less than 2 weeks after they finally got the diagnosis. But at one point, it was a degenerative bone disease that is eating the bone from the inside out, but that it's not cancer. I said, sure sounds like it. But anyway, so it did turn out to be that, but they didn't know that for several months. And then when they found it out, instead of finding out sooner when they'd know, of course, from what the doctor said, there really was no treatment for it anyway. But how do you know? So I just think it's better, even if it's bad news, it's better to know so you know what you're dealing with. You know, tell me something that it's not, and it's, I don't know what I'm dealing with. I'm treating something I don't know that it really is the problem if you're lying to me. And so let's get to the truth. And by the way, God's people should always tell the truth. Always. Not just sometimes, because that would be missing the mark. But always tell the truth. We need to do that. So sin is thus disobeying a command of God. All right, we're going to end there and move on to our...